Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Coming to you on the Saturday morning edition. It should have been the Friday edition. A little detail. Not a lot. But found out yesterday... That I have a relative I didn't know that I had, if that makes sense to you. No, I don't have another child. Somebody else in my family did, not in my immediate family. But we've kind of grown up not knowing about this person. And I don't know all the details, but trying to help my family kind of make sense of it all. But nevertheless... I think in many respects it's a happy thing, right? A lot of questions, to say the least. And I don't want to bore you guys with all that kind of stuff. But that's kind of figuring those things out yesterday. So I was going to record the show yesterday. Then I kind of got this bombshell dropped on me. And now here we are. But anyway, at the end of the day, I think this person, I'm not going to mention names, but this person that is within our family, and this is on the other side of the family, but they've kind of been done a disservice, right? Because they don't know us. Not that we're so great, but just knowing family medical history and things like that. I mean, there's just a lot to it. But nevertheless, got somebody new we'll get to know. They're married with a family themselves, and so it's... It's interesting. Let's just say that. It's interesting. Just when you think you know people, you find out you don't. You know, that's a little traveling tip for you. Just when you think you've got it all figured out and you know who everybody is and kind of, you know, who all the players are and where everybody sits on the chessboard, you find out that maybe you don't. A little plot twist, you know. In middle age, you find these things out. And what's funny about that, too, is... There's somebody else in my family, on my wife's side of the family, that did the ancestry DNA thing. You're familiar. I've done it. And there was no surprises for me. I'm Scotch-Irish, just so you know. But anyway, somebody close to me on Dana's side of the family, they did the ancestry thing and found out that they had a sibling that they were unaware of. Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. And tracked them down and got in contact and said, hey, we'd like to meet. They did and decided that, you know, hey, we'll just kind of stay in contact every now and again. My life is pretty much settled. These people in their, you know, 60s and 70s. But hey, it's nice to know you. And we connected a few dots and that's kind of the end of it. But man, you never know. What's going to happen in life? You never truly know what's going to happen. But I'm trying to look at all this as a very good thing. And the thing that I think about, too, you look at the humanity in all of this, right? Is it somebody that I loved? And love me. You know, carried this secret for 30 plus years. If not longer, right? I mean, and I think that is something. Now, you know, once you get through the initial shock of it all, it's like, man, I can't begin to imagine how alone they must have felt, you know? And then to have a child out there. And I don't know what kind of relationship they had. They may continue to have a relationship, but, you know, I don't know. But I think, you know, to keep that from your family, that's quite the burden to carry, you know? And the reality of it is, I know I speak for just about everybody in my family. I won't speak for everybody because but I know my family, you know, we would have accepted all of this. We would have. It may have been a little difficult in the beginning. And that's kind of what happens is we begin to kind of project other people's reaction to our actions sometimes, and we don't give people enough credit. And obviously this is a major thing, right? This isn't like, hey, I forgot to file my taxes. You know, I'm a month behind on my car note. You know, that it's not that. But, you know, I think that I'm a pretty accepting person. I'm incredibly competitive. But I think that's what recovery has kind of taught me, too, is just to kind of love people where they are, not as I would have them to be. You know, there's it used to be page 445 in the big book. They've edited it. It's changed a little bit. But one of the things that I learned very early in recovery, and it's just helpful to everybody, whether you're a person in recovery or just a human being, is that our serenity is inversely proportional to our expectations. Now, to kind of break that down for you, the more you expect, the less happy you're going to be. Now, what I mean by that is, it's mainly like other people, right? And in some respects in life. And I expect the best from myself. I expect to give a great effort every day. And that actually gives me a sense of serenity and happiness and accomplishment and things of that nature. But when I get into these scenarios, and this is just me, maybe you're like this too, or maybe you're not. But like when I get into other people, right? The more that I expect, like if I expect so much from Dana, and I have in some points in my life, I have enacted a standard that was impossible for her to reach. You know what I mean? And I don't mean like task oriented, but yeah, sometimes we think so much of people, and we think, hey, this is how they should always be, and this is, you know. It becomes transactional in that respect because you start thinking about, hey, being in a loving relationship is a wonderful thing. But there are a lot of people out there that they're not partners, they're prisoners, if that makes sense. And so when I think about my children, you know, the more that I expect them to act like I want them to act, the more disappointed I'm going to be. And sometimes, you know, there's some things in a daddy job description we don't talk about, you know. And I think what my approach to parenting, we're just covering the whole gambit this morning before we get into the show, is I have always tried to share what I know. This is what I know about life. And I don't know everything about life. There are some experiences you're going to encounter that I haven't. And whenever that pops up, even if I don't have any expertise, I'll hold your hand. We'll figure it out together, right? But when you start thinking about, hey, you know, I expect this child to do this and grow up and do that and marry this person or whatever, you know, then I'm only setting myself up for disappointment. You got to let people be themselves. And listen, let me tell you something. I have four amazing children. And at some point in their lives, every single one of them has disappointed me. And maybe not because I expected too much, but because they did something stupid. You know, and there have been times in their lives that I've disappointed them. And so you got to give some people room for disappointment. But that understood, kind of back to our central point here, is there may be somebody like you. And maybe you're carrying some incredible secret that you feel like you can't tell anybody. Well, I can tell you without reservation that the people that truly love you, they may be shocked and disappointed to find out that there's something that you've kept from them. I mean, there's a sense of betrayal and all that stuff too. And that's, One of the things I think is so important, I have told every one of my children, I don't care what you do, I don't care what happens, you can talk to me. You absolutely can talk to me. And we'll figure it out. Don't be scared to tell me the truth, right? Because who's to say we won't survive that? But if you're a person that's carrying that burden around, I think about having to harbor a secret, you know, for, you know, the bulk of your life, man. I mean, that's just no way to live. It's not. And you're going to feel so much better having somebody else help you kind of carry the burden of that, you know? I'm not saying you got to go put all your business out on Facebook. I don't recommend that anyway. But if you were carrying a burden right now that is so incredibly heavy, there's something that's hidden or whatever, you know, that let me encourage you to unburden yourself. And I can tell you, as a person that has been on the other end of this, as being the person somebody calls and says, "Hey, man, I got to talk to you about this," it's an honor. It truly is an honor to be able to help someone unburden themselves. It is. And it has brought me incredibly close to a lot of people. And I've had some of you that have messaged me about things that... I'm not going to belabor this point, but I've had several of you that have messaged me at times when you've had some difficult times in your life. And I hope that I've helped. But the sad part about that to me is that, man, they're having to turn to basically a stranger. You know my name, you know my face, but you don't really know me. You know, you hear what I say, read what I write. But I'm glad that I can be here in some capacity. But I can guarantee you there are a lot of people that are just like me, or even better than me, and better equipped to handle this, that love you, that are willing to talk to you. And it's so crazy to think, I can promise you, everybody that loves you doesn't want you to carry a burden that sometimes is too much to bear. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We do. We've loved them from the beginning. They brought such great joy to our community. Yeah, it's great. And I guarantee you this, when you ask your kids, "Hey, we're going to Starkville," or "We're on the way to Starkville, we're going to go to Tupelo," whatever, no matter where you're going, if you ask the kids where they want to eat, it's Bulldog Burger Company. And you know, if they're having those moments of indecision and say, "Hey kids, do you want Bulldog Burger Company?" you're going to get a resounding yes, because it's great. It's great. There's a lot of good places out there. Bulldog Burger Company is great. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Absolutely outstanding. Great environment, great service, great food, great selection. It's great. Be sure and check it out next time you're in town or on the way to town. I am kind of craving that freshman 15. It's been a while for me, and that's the thing. There's so many great options to choose from there. Sometimes you just get a hankering for something that can't be satisfied anywhere other than Bulldog Burger Company. Make the spring rolls part of your beauty care regimen. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. It's true. Get that chocolate shake, and you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. The SEC media has spoken, for whatever that's worth. You guys know this. Like, I have never, ever, 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 ever put much credence into this stuff. Occasionally, the media gets it right. And the reason that I say that I don't ever take this thing very seriously is because a lot of the people that vote don't take it very seriously. And I've been a proponent for this for a long time. Just make the ballots public. I got no problem sharing when I vote for stuff in sports, anyway, who and how I voted. I'm a Heisman voter. And I every year, as soon as the announcement is made, I release the article explaining who I voted for and why I voted for them. You get to pick three, and you rank them 1, 2, 3. You know, boom. I believe in transparency. But there are some people that approach all this as kind of a joke, you know, which is how, you know, teams like Vanderbilt get picks to win the SEC championship. Now, all due respect to the Commodores, they were better last year, but they've been picked to win the league by at least one or two people, you know, multiple years. And that's just not showing respect to the process. So I think it's make all this stuff public and let's move forward. But here we go. Here we go. Before we get into the actual projected finish, I'm going to give you the list of all the people that received the first place vote. Okay? We'll start at the bottom. There are three teams that got one vote to win the SEC championship. One vote only. Auburn, Ole Miss, Tennessee. And like somebody thinks it's cute, it's not cute. It's disrespectful. And at the end of the day, preseason lists don't mean anything, and I guess maybe that's why they're so cavalier in their attitude about this. I just think more of myself. I think more of the job that I have. I think more of this league. All right, Florida and Vanderbilt both get two votes to win the SEC. Oklahoma gets three. What are we doing? South Carolina gets five. It's like these are block voters, right? It's like everybody on the beat gets together. Hey, let's do this. Give us a neat story to write. LSU gets 20, Alabama 29, Georgia 44, and the consensus runaway winner is Texas with 96. 96 votes to win the SEC championships. At least some people are at least paying attention. It's probably going to boil down to Texas and Georgia. You kind of understand that. So here is your projected order of finish. We'll start at the top. Obviously, Texas wins, but it's not as runaway as you would think, because Georgia clearly got a lot of number two votes. So Texas is projected to win, Georgia to finish second, and then Alabama third, and then LSU four, South Carolina five. So you can see like the weight of those first place votes kind of carry those teams. And listen, I love Shane Beamer to death. Love his in-laws. They're great, great people. Love them. But South Carolina ain't winning the SEC. At least not this year. Next on our list is Florida. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, Florida picks sixth. And just behind them is Ole Miss at 7. Middle of the pack. Kind of what a lot of us are projecting for them. Texas A&M right behind them at 8. Tennessee at 9. Oklahoma at 10. Auburn at 11, Missouri at 12, and some people are saying this is the most talented Missouri team that Eli Drinkwitz has. Yeah, not great. Followed by Vanderbilt, even with the weight of those first-place votes, they're still down toward the bottom. Arkansas, Kentucky, and of course your Bulldogs get the fewest number of votes, and it's not even close. And then some people are going to get their feelings hurt. Guys, we discussed this before on the show, and you guys are not idiots. You understand. We went 2-10 last year. And it's a brand new roster. You don't know what that's going to look like. You hope, but you don't know. So, yeah, we're picked last. But I could see us picking off a couple of these teams. You know, and again, you know, Kentucky, it's so funny, too, that they've been such a media darling, even though they've been kind of a 7-5 program more years than not. You know, down there at the bottom with us. Unfortunately, we don't play them. So here is your preseason Media Days All-SEC teams. We'll go through these very quickly. Quarterback Lenora Sellers from South Carolina's first team. I don't agree with that. Running back Contravion Wisner from Texas. Le'Veon Moss from A&M. Love his game. Wide receiver Ryan Williams from Alabama. Cam Coleman from Auburn. Tight end Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt. Your offensive line is Caden Proctor from Bama, Caden Green from Missouri, DJ Campbell from Texas, Austin Barber from Florida, and Jake Slaughter from Florida. So the offensive line from Florida getting a little love there with the first team offense. Second team, and who would have been my first place vote, Garrett Nussmeier, quarterback from LSU, Jaden Knott, running back from Oklahoma, Caden Durham from LSU, wide receiver Aaron Anderson from LSU, Ryan Wingo from Texas, Oscar Delp, the tight end from Georgia. Your offensive line, Amars Reed Adams from Texas A&M, Trey Zune III from A&M, Jaden Roberts from Bama, Fernando Carmona Jr. from Arkansas, Parker Bracefield from Alabama. So the Alabama offensive line, well represented here. Third team quarterback is Arch Manning. I will tell you this, not a huge fan of the Mannings, obviously, but there's no denying their talent. I thought that Arch Manning handled himself really well at Media Day. And he says, guys, I played in like two games, right? All these people are so hyped up on him. And listen, I get it. You know, he's got a famous name and he's got a really good game. But he hadn't done anything yet. And I like the fact that this young man seems to have a real sense of self-awareness. You know, and like he even said himself, I shouldn't even be here. you know. But everybody wants Arch there. I mean, obviously, that's a big story. But I kind of feel a sense of Peyton in him. You know what I mean? Like, as far as Mannings go, and I think Peyton Manning is probably the guy that's kind of America's sweetheart in some respects. And I get the sense that Arch Manning kind of has some of those same qualities where he's like, you know, there's not a sense of entitlement with him, which is refreshing. Running back Nate Frazier from Georgia and then Jam Miller from Alabama. Wide receiver Eric Singleton from Auburn and then Kevin Coleman Jr., formerly of Mississippi State, now Missouri. Tight end Jack Enders from Texas. Offensive line runs down Ernest Green III from Georgia. Chase Basantis from A&M. Xavier Chaplin from Auburn. Trevor Goodsby from Texas. And then Connor Liu of Auburn is your center. Now, moving to defense. First team.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Defensive line, Kedrick Falk from Auburn, Dylan Stewart from South Carolina, Colin Simmons from Texas, defensive lineman Christian Miller, Georgia, rounds out the group. On the first team, linebackers, Anthony Hill Jr. from Texas, Whit Weeks from LSU, that's a good name, C.J. Allen from Georgia, and the secondary, K.J. Bolden from Georgia, Michael Taffy from Texas, Dalen Everett from Georgia, Jermon McCoy from Tennessee. Second team, your defensive line, Caleb Banks from Florida, Tim Keenan III from Alabama, LT Overton from Alabama. Alabama clearly going to be good in the trenches. R. Mason Thomas from Oklahoma. Your linebacking group, Deontay Lawson from Alabama, Harold Perkins from LSU, and then Get Perkins from Ole Miss. Defensive secondary, Damani Jackson from Bama, Malik Muhammad from Texas, Will Lee III from A&M, Jackson Kilgore from South Carolina. Your third team defense, and wrapping out the selections here, and there is a Bulldog represented here, Tariq Sapp from Florida, Trey Moore, Texas, Cam Ball from Arkansas, and then Xavier Harris from Ole Miss rounds out your defensive line group. Linebackers, Torian York from Texas A&M, Arian Carter from Tennessee, Princewell Umanlani from Ole Miss, and the secondary, Keon Sab, Alabama, Boo Carter from Tennessee, Bray Hubbard, Alabama, and then your Bulldog, Isaac Smith makes third team. And it's interesting to me that the leading tackler in the Southeastern Conference is third team. Yeah, and to be honest with you, if Isaac hadn't gone to media days, some of our lazy media wouldn't have even voted for him because they don't do any homework. All right, your specialist punter, first team, Brett Thorson, Georgia. Place kicker, Peyton Woodring from Georgia. Long snapper, Bo Gardner from Georgia. Your kicking specialist, Peyton Woodring from Georgia. And your return specialist and all-purpose player, Zachariah Branch from Georgia. Pretty clear that Georgia should be sound in the kicking game. Second team, Jack, Bo Meister from Texas, place kicker Trey Smack, a tie here, Trey Smack from Florida, and Lucas Canario from Ole Miss. Long snappers, Rocco Underwood from Florida, Trey Smack from Georgia, your kicking specialist. Berrion Brown from LSU, your return specialist, and Xavion Thomas, a former Bulldog, your all-purpose player. And finally, the third team specialist, Devin Bale from Arkansas, a tie with Aiden Laros from Kentucky, place kicker Alex McPherson from Auburn, long snapper Ben Anderson from Oklahoma, your kickoff specialist Bill Stone from Texas, Will Stone, pardon me, Xavion Thomas, your return specialist, and then your all-purpose player, Eugene Wilson III, Florida, also tied with Jaden Baugh of Florida. So there you go. For what it's all worth, that's how it kind of shakes out. And again, I think you take all this with a grain of salt because, you know, again, I know a lot of these people doing the voting, and some of these people, I don't think they've ever played a football game in their lives, but that's not to say that you got to be a chef to go to a restaurant to have a good meal, you know, to know when you get a good meal or not. But that's where we are, and I do think we'll be better than last place in the SEC, but we got to prove it. And again, these years are so difficult to get excited about, right? I mean, it's just the reality of life. You know, and I had this conversation with the bride the other night. We're talking about how fast life goes when you get older. And it's true, man. It seems like just yesterday she was in travel nursing in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's been about 3 years now, but almost 3 years. But guys, Dak Prescott, and it seems like Dak was just here like 6 months ago. Guys, it's been 10 years since Dak Prescott was going into his senior season in 2015. 10 years. That's crazy to think about, right? And I think a lot of that, too, is, you know, you don't have the big birthday party. You know, it's like every day kind of feels the same, and then one day you look up and the house is empty, and, you know, it's just you and mama. You know, and you look back and you're like, all of a sudden, these young people that you were so excited about choosing your school are now have wives and kids of their own. Life comes at you fast. And in many respects, every day kind of feels the same. But football and college athletics bring some color and enjoyment to our lives. And we want to be good so bad. We do. We have made some significant financial investments in football over the course of the last couple of years. You know, Zach Selman, of course, has prioritized football. And we talk about it before, you got to take care of football because football takes care of everything else. That has to happen. We've done a lot of facility upgrades. We've got more on the way. But the reality of this thing is this is a Mississippi State team, you know, not expected to do exceptionally well, but really nobody knows because there's just so many unknowns, not just with what we have, but what everybody else has. And you look at the Texas and the Floridas and the Georgias and the Alabamas, those guys are not necessarily portal heavy because they don't have to be. You know, I think that's one of the things you look at. You'd like to be able to get off that roller coaster. You really would. But in order to do that, you got to win games. So it's kind of this chicken and egg thing. But eventually, when you begin to look at the finances of college athletics and rev share, there's now a cap on the rev share. You can get some third-party NIL deals, and that's something else that's still being legislated. But the reality of it is, we got to win games, period. You got to win games, and you got to find a way to get guys to stay in your program. And I think one of the things that is probably on the cusp, you know, of course, you got this SCORE legislation, which is national law, and there's so many things out there that people are trying to do because they recognize that there is a need for some sense of normalcy when it comes to compensation for student athletes. And like we're in the middle of a mess right now, but we'll get through it. They'll get it figured out. But you know, the thing that I think about is, you know, what does multi-year scholarships do for you? You know, can we make these deals binding? They're binding in every other walk of life, and at the end of the day, they are effectively employees. You know, some people out there, they don't want to have to do that because all of a sudden, if they become employees, you got to have some additional employee benefits, and there's just a lot to that. But the reality of it is that, you know, college athletics has changed forever. Some of it is very positive. Some of it is not. And I think there are, again, some steps being taken to kind of correct some of the things that are inherently negative about this, like people that are, you know, using these kids to line their own pockets. And some would argue, well, college programs did that forever. And I would remind you that most college athletic departments run in a deficit. But all that understood, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they see these young people as commodities and not people. And, you know, so you got to get all that stuff fixed, because there's a lot of these people out there that are kind of unlicensed agents that are just enriching themselves because there's not a lot of guardrails in this process. So I believe we're getting there, but there will be a lot more court cases to come. And probably another decade will pass before we kind of get everything settled to a situation where everybody has somewhat of a comfort level. But it's just so crazy to think about, you know, how far we've come just in 4 years. I mean, just 4 years ago this month, NIL was basically legalized nationally. It became a function of the NCAA to allow NIL compensation. And then this is where we are. It's taken us 4 years. Everybody was so excited about it in the beginning because they sold us a bill of goods, and ultimately it became slush funds to compensate players. And that's around the country. But that's not just a scenario that only impacts the SEC. It's around the country. And you know, then you put the rev share in place and say, okay, well, this kind of just should negate the need for this pay-for-play stuff. Well, it essentially is pay-for-play. But at least with that aspect of it, you start to feel like there's institutional control over some of that. But it doesn't matter what all rules you put in place. There are some people that are going to find a way to work around the rules and be exploitative of the rules. And the laws only apply to the law-abiding. You know, the other people are cheaters. That's what makes them cheaters. They find a way to do it. And it's interesting that we've had some discussions about, well, some schools got off to a great start and NIL. Well, yeah, because they already had an infrastructure together to pay players. It was just before it was illegal and improper. So you had plenty of people that were already in the process of funding athletic football type compensation. It was just a little more under the table. And I think that's a fair assessment of that situation too. And so at the end of the day, it's not about what was, it's about what is and what is to come. And we have to be prepared for that in every aspect. They haven't released names yet because one of the guys involved needed some time to kind of get some things resolved. But, you know, we have basically hired three people, a new CFO, Mitch Moser, of the athletic department, and two other people who haven't been named yet, that basically their function is to handle all of this, right? To handle basically employee compensation or student athlete compensation, I guess is what we're going to delude ourselves into calling it right now. But so Mississippi State has taken some steps administratively to ensure that we are where we need to be and that we're headed in the right direction. I think that gives a feather in the cap of one Zach Selman. And I go to this whole thing, too, with the Oklahoma interest, which has kind of died down in the media for a little bit. And I think it's going to be, you know, maybe October, November before all that gets real serious. But the reality of it is if these people that he's hiring – and one of which he knows exceptionally well. We've spoken about it. We're going to do him the respect of waiting for him to announce that. But the reality of that is, if you're leaving, why would you hire people to come here? Why would you uproot people? Like, if you know that you're leaving in a few months, why would you uproot somebody to come here if you were leaving? And then maybe try to uproot them again, you know, two times in a year? That's tough on a family. It is. So I just kind of throw that out there. So we'll get back to all this stuff when it begins to matter most. But that's kind of where we stand right now with all the SEC media stuff. And, of course, this score stuff with the federal government is going to be interesting to watch. It really is. All right, time for our close with Blair. Player of the day, it's going to be Isaac Smith. It only seems right. Preseason All-SEC. Deserved a little bit better than third team in my estimation, but I may be a little bit biased. Speaking of being biased, Blair Chandler will be biased for you because you will be a priority to him when he walks over to underwriting and dealing with them. He will be your advocate to help get you to the closing table. 601-500-2344. That's the number to know. 601-500-2344. Or just visit the website Close with Blair. Of course, that's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. You can learn more about his services, 24 years of experience in the industry. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. And get that pre-qualification letter. Don't waste your time shopping above your means. Know exactly what you can get, and you're going to be excited. You may qualify for more than you realize, right? And not to mention the mortgage payment, more times than not, it's a lot cheaper than renting, making somebody else rich, paying somebody else's mortgage payment. Make the dream of homeownership come true for you. Blair Chandler can make that happen when so many others can't. Perhaps you've had bad luck in the past. Maybe you just had the wrong loan originator. Yeah, Blair knows how to structure these loans to give you the best chance for approval. Give him a call today, whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. The only name to know is Blair Chandler. Unless you have been off social media for a couple days, there was a bit of an incident at the Coldplay concert. And number one, I don't know why you'd be at a Coldplay concert in the first place, but I digress. But maybe you're familiar with this story that the married CEO of this company, astronomer, was caught in a loving embrace with his HR director. Both of them married to other people. Kind of an unfortunate situation. But again, it's one of those things, too, that you know, you kind of think a little bit about the brazen decision to, hey, let's go out in public to a concert and have public displays of affection, and then you get caught on the kiss cam, not kissing, just embracing. And people have made a lot of memes about this. But the first thing I thought of is, you know, look at this guy. You know, there's a sense of entitlement with it all. But then my second thought, obviously, is to the other families and the children. You know, it's tough seeing families break up, but I'll tell you, there's no shame in being from a broken home, but there's a lot of shame in living in one. And so, you know, if that's the way you're going to go, then go all the way, right? But, you know, there's a lot of things out there, like these videos of this AI stuff, like pretending to be the wife and her making statements. Guys, nobody would do that. Don't fall for that stuff. And like, you know, these magazines out here, you know, you feel like they're somewhat credible, but they're writing articles about tweets. And there are people in my industry that do that. You're basically an aggregate news source. If you're not breaking any news, you're just repeating the news. And that's kind of what this is about. You know, it's like, well, the former CEO or former co-founder has made a statement, and the statement is the tweet saying, I'm no longer involved with the company, and that becomes an article. It's so clickbaity. But nevertheless, it brings us to a topic we haven't fully embraced on the show for our top 10 list today. It's top 10 songs about cheating. So here we go. Number 10, one of my favorite Rat albums is Detonator. It's so incredibly well produced. I like all the Rat albums. I do. I mean, which I'm a metal guy. You know, and what people consider metal today, we didn't consider metal back then, you know. Like metal today is thrash metal or things of that nature. Back in those days, we just called it thrash. Now they just call it metal. You know, but like Rat and Motley, and those bands were considered heavy metal, even though many of them weren't very heavy. You know, Poison gets lumped into that, the Revlon rockers, but that was kind of, you know, germane for the scene. But Rat is a great band. Stephen Piercy still out there performing these days. Warren DeMartini backing him up. They recently played the M3 Festival. Huge Rat guy. Huge, huge Rat guy. And my buddy Sam Denton, Rat's his favorite band. But there's an intro, and then there's an incredible song that opens the Detonator album. It's called Shame, Shame, Shame. And the backside of that chorus is, you should have known better than to cheat on me. Number 9, kind of jumping around, and we're kind of going to work at all genres here. This is a song that I remember when this song came out, I was like, they were thinking, what is Usher doing? You know. And Usher, of course, at one time dated Chili of TLC, who was my favorite member of the group. I liked them all, but I like Chili. I like her vocal delivery, and she's awfully fun to look at. But Usher writes the song Confessions. These are my confessions, you know. There's a lot, and trust me, we could probably put a top 100 list together about songs of this nature, because it's such a relatable part of the human condition. Number 8, a deep track from one of America's greatest rock bands, and I will die on this hill. They were not metal. They kind of got lumped in with the hair metal category because they were from the same decade. But they didn't get out and tease their hair up and that kind of stuff. They just plugged in and played great music. We're talking Tesla. Going back to the great radio controversy, if you don't have that album, you need to download that album. Tesla's The Great Radio Controversy. Of course, it's all about Nikola Tesla and Marconi and all this kind of stuff. That album's got a lot of songs you know. Your Love Song is on there, The Way It Is. You know, there's a lot on that album. But one of my favorite tracks is the final track. And it's a song about cheating. It's called The Party's Over. Turn out the lights, the party's over. Yeah, there's so many great. Jeff Keith's so great. Great, man. I love Tesla. Matter of fact, on my license plate years ago, it was Hang Tough. Not for New Kids on the Block, but for the lead song on this album. And when I was in high school, this is the one album that every one of my friends had. Everybody. Even the guys that weren't huge rock guys, everybody had this album. I mean, and you should download it, if nothing else, just for for Love Song. But the album in its entirety is absolutely great. Flight to Nowhere is great. Paradise is great. I don't think people fully appreciate that album. It's amazing. Number seven, it's Dolly Parton. Yeah, kind of working on the other end of this thing. Trying to send a message to Jolene. You know, please don't take my man away from me, you know. And I don't think Dolly's ever had that issue. You know, she recently lost her husband. So pretty interesting type stuff. But again, this is no respecter of persons or musical preferences. Number six on our list is The King. Elvis Presley reminding us that we can't go on together with suspicious minds. Yeah, if you're going through her phone, I mean, the relationship's probably already over. Just the truth of the matter, you know. It's you got to have trust, you do. And that's not to say that every day is going to be, you know, unicorns and rainbow farts, but, you know, or the other way around, rainbows and unicorn farts. But you understand my point here. It's just, it's a tough thing, man. You listen, if you've got an open phone policy, that's a cool thing. But anytime you feel the need to go look for it, you're really just making yourself sicker, honest to goodness. Number five, and I know that some people have kind of fallen out of favor, or this artist has kind of fallen out of favor with them. He had some kind of wild and crazy contrived live performance that looked kind of demonic, and some people are like, hey, this is not what I expected from him. And an incredible vocalist. And when he first hit the scene, everybody's like, man, where has this guy been? We're talking Sam Smith, and we're going back to the very beginning. I know I'm not the only one. That's a tough feeling, isn't it? Yeah, you know it is. All right, number four. Another song that kind of caused a little bit of a stir because of a cameo from a young lady that looked very similar to Britney Spears in the video. It's Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River. The video is phenomenal, too. Phenomenal. Cry Me a River, of course, is, you know, the relationship's over and you want to get back and repair it. Can't do it. Number three. This is a great funk song. It's what they labeled it back in the day. It's really just a rock song. And the guitar on this is super cool. I mean, it really is. And a lot of you only know him from Ghostbusters. And you're wrong for that. Ray Parker Jr. was already an established music star in America before the Ghostbusters thing came along. Everybody knows him for that song. Very handsome guy. A guy that can sing, but can also play some really good guitar. And Ray told us years ago that he was in love with the other woman. Ray Parker Jr., The Other Woman is your number three track. Number two, I would be remiss if we didn't have this thing on here because Carrie Underwood, of course, incredible performer, incredibly beautiful, incredibly well-spoken, handles herself exceptionally well. She is America's sweetheart in many respects. I know some people, things happen and somebody tweets something and you get your panties in a bunch, but Carrie Underwood, the first big hit, Before He Cheats. And I think every time that I have been to karaoke, some young lady has sung this song, especially that line at the end, that everybody, every woman in the crowd sings it. You know, because the next time he cheats, it won't be on me. You know, I may have saved a little trouble for the next girl. Every woman in the bar sings that in unison when that song is sung. I went to Cat's Meow a couple years ago in New Orleans, which is a great place to go. I got a lot of good memories of Cat's Meow. But this very average-looking girl gets up and is a very average singer. But she brings the house down with this because there is a feeling, obviously, that is shared between her and all of her compatriots that have been cheated on. So, and I hate to laugh at that, but it's just interesting to think about that aspect of it. You know, there's solidarity in suffering. But number one, we mentioned them earlier, and I think this song is phenomenal. Love it. I think the construction of the song is great. We talk about people putting these things together for well-packaged pop artists, and we're talking TLC. And the video itself, everybody's in those silk pajamas. But it's Creep. Keep it on the down low. No one's supposed to know. So that's your top 10 list about cheating. I'm sure there, again, we could put together a top 100. There's so many of those things out there. But again, if that's happening to you, I'm sorry. It's happened to me before. And I've been on both ends of it, so I'm not going to sit here in judgment of anybody else. But the reality of it is that it seems like it happens to everybody, right? Whether it may not even be physical, it may just be emotional. There's always something, right? And I think social media makes this, you know, more prevalent, you know. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to blame anybody for this, but there's a lot of people out there looking for this. And guys, let me tell you this. And I'm going to say this, and it's going to hurt some feelings, and, that, you know, I can live with that. Let me just tell you this. Guys, if you're not in her pictures, you're not truly in the picture. Does that make sense? Because it's like I heard this comedian say one time, oh, you're going to take that selfie? Well, you better get over here and take this weefie, you know. There are a lot of people out there that are monkey branching in relationships. And if you know what I mean? Like, I'm holding on to one limb until I grab the next one. And that's a term that maybe you hadn't embraced, but there's a lot of people that monkey branch in relationships because there's this fear of being alone, that sort of stuff. And so there's a lot of that happens. And, of course, a lot of times people get to be, you know, middle-aged or disenfranchised with a relationship, and they need somebody to remind them that they're attractive and desirable, and that's on both ends of the spectrum. And so just be mindful of that. There's a lot of people that leave a lot of breadcrumbs in that respect. But anyway, that's your top 10 list. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do it is to hit up Roy Sammatic on X at Dogmatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify. And Roy gets behind sometimes. He'll get caught up. And you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We do, because they have the things that we want to purchase. Mississippi State merch, whether it be apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. I love those people. I do. And I love going in there because the level of service is just unsurpassed. The selection of Mississippi State merchandise, unrivaled. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is not a great shopping day for you, and I get it, you know, it's an event, can be, visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. As I have shared many times, many of you don't get a chance to get back to Starkville very often, but you can support a Starkville business. We encourage you to do so to help keep Starkville great, but also, too, these people have served you so many years. They ride the wave of emotion of Mississippi State sports fandom just like you do. Campus Bookmart. Be sure and check them out today at campusbookmart.net. Okay, since we have been together, Mississippi State has announced the final dates of the men's basketball non-conference schedule. We're going to take a look at that today. honestly, it is a more challenging schedule than I think the casual fan may understand. Okay, and what I say by that is most of these teams were winning programs last year. Most of them had a position in the postseason. And so while it may not be the most challenging schedule, I mean, hey, you got some, you know, you got some Power Five schools on here. You got some folks with some budgets and some notoriety. So let's kind of break it down. We're going to open up the year at home against North Alabama. Now, last year, the Lions went 24-11 and reached the NIT. So I don't know what they return. I haven't broken that down. But this is a program, obviously, that had some success last year. They're probably not going to have the same level of talent we are. But they're going to show up expecting to play well. We're going to play in this deal out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota against Iowa State. Now, the Cyclones last year were really good. 25-10, they made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament. They were eliminated by Ole Miss, which allowed Ole Miss to advance to the Sweet 16. So Iowa State didn't get out of the first weekend, but very much a tournament team. A repeat opponent for Mississippi State, the Southeastern Louisiana Lions, will visit the Humphrey Coliseum November the 15th. Not a great team, but they went 18-14 last year. They were out of the postseason. But, again, a team, you know, capable at least coming in here and putting up a little bit of a fight. Kansas State, a Power Four opponent, one of the few teams on our non-conference schedule, one of only two teams, actually three teams, pardon me, to have a losing record last year. Kansas State went 16-17. And we're going to play that in Kansas City, Missouri. And then we'll play the winner or loser, depending on how things shake out, against Nebraska / New Mexico. Now, both of those teams appeared in the postseason last year. Nebraska went 21-14, and they won the inaugural college basketball crown, which basically kind of replaces the old CBI tournament. There's so much of that these days. But they win it, and so the team is pretty good. Not a tournament team, but still a team that made the postseason. New Mexico last year, very good team, went 27-8 overall and lost to Michigan State in the second round of the NCAA tournament. So there could be some RPI climbing opportunities in this event out in Kansas City, Missouri. Maybe some of you will make that trip. I don't know. Could be a lot of fun. That's going to be November 20th and 21st. UNO will visit November 24th, the one team on our schedule that was absolutely dreadful last year. The Privateers went 4-27. I remember years ago when we lived in Baton Rouge making that trip down to watch State beat the Privateers down in New Orleans. A lot of water under the bridge since then. But that's the one team you look at and say, you know what, we could probably rest the starters much of the second half. At least you hope so. Big weekend, November 28th. As you guys know, a lot's going to be going on that weekend. SMU, Power Four opponent, will visit Humphrey Coliseum. We expect to have a near-capacity crowd for that ball game. Now, the Mustangs last year went 24-11 and reached the second round of the NIT. So, again, not a team devoid of talent, a team that won some games last year. That's a good one. Now, we'll take a little bit of a break. We'll come back and travel to Atlanta, Georgia, to take on Georgia Tech. And that, listen, guys, it's just 4 hours over there. All right? Just 4 hours if you live in the greater Starkville area or the Golden Triangle. And many of you will take the opportunity to go. It's a quick day trip. Go over there, watch us win a ball game, get back in a decent hour. Georgia Tech last year went 17-17 and reached the first round of the NIT. San Francisco. We'll play them in Tupelo December the 7th. And I like the fact that we are playing in Tupelo. We're not playing in Jackson this year. But, the Dons, San Francisco, went 25-10 and reached the second round of the NIT. We'll play Utah in Salt Lake City, Utah. And for those Bulldogs that live in that neck of the woods, go ahead and put December 13th on your calendar. You need to go ahead and request off work if you're working that day to ensure that you can be there to cheer on the Bulldogs as they come to your backyard. Now, Utah last year, one of those three teams we had that had a losing record. They went 16-17. They also appeared in the college basketball crown tournament and got eliminated in the first round. Long Island will make the trip to Starkville, Mississippi, December the 16th. They went 17-16 last year and were out of the postseason. But, you know, a winning record, and for a program like that, I'm sure they feel like, hey, we'd love to play postseason, but at least there's something to build upon. Now, one of the more anticipated matchups of the non-conference, and it's the return game from last year. Remember last year, State went into Memphis, and we beat the Tigers. And it was huge. And that's when a lot of our fans said, you know what, maybe we're for real. That's how I felt. We talked about it on the show ad nauseum. Memphis and Penny Hardaway have built a really good program. Recently put on probation for some academic impropriety, kind of a Tutorgate scandal over there. But last year the Tigers went 29-6. Three of those six losses to SEC opponents, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State. They reached the first round of the tournament and were eliminated. But that'll be an incredible atmosphere. We'll have some Memphis fans that make the trip. But my hope is that their seating opportunities are somewhat limited because we have more maroon and white buying out those tickets. That is going to be one of those marquee matchups in the non-conference around the conference that a lot of people are going to be looking to. And so, again, we get them at our place, and we've, you know, been really good at home under Chris Jans. So, you know, that's a win we need to get. And then finally, the final non-conference opponent after the Christmas break will be Alabama State. And some of you may look at that and say, well, you know, kind of makes sense. We kind of play a lesser opponent right before the beginning of SEC play. Guys, Alabama State made the tournament last year and won a game. Eliminated in the second round. They went 20-16 last year. So they win the SWAC and then go to the tournament and get a dub. Yeah, good stuff. I mean, really good stuff for them. And so, again, this is going to be a program that's going to come in here. They're not going to respect us, you know. I mean, they'll say, hey, these guys in the SEC are really good. But they knocked off St. Francis in Dayton, Ohio in the play-in game last year. So I guess technically they made round one. They won the play-in game 70-68 and then lost to Auburn. So I guess technically they play won a game, but it was actually the first round, officially the first round. They win the play-in game and lose to Auburn 83-63. And you know how good Auburn ended up being in the playing for a national championship. So that's your non-conference schedule. We'll get more information as we get a little bit closer to all this stuff. But I thought, hey, let's go ahead and roll this out here just because I think it's important for you to know so you can begin to kind of plan. And so that Alabama State game will be December 29th. It's a Monday. So be planning ahead for that. But that Georgia Tech game we talked about in Atlanta, that's a Wednesday game. So you need to do some planning here. And that SMU game will be Friday, November 28th. So you can find the schedule listed at HealthState.com, but I wanted to provide you guys a little bit of insight because I do think it's maybe not the most challenging schedule, but certainly a schedule that I think that most basketball people will enjoy because you're going to have some quality teams on the road, in some neutral site environments, and at home. And again, you look at that Memphis game, it's going to be a big one. We talk about packing out the hump. That's it. You know, and we really need near-capacity crowds in most of these games. And if you haven't been to Humphrey Coliseum since the renovation, you owe it to yourself to go. It's a much nicer experience. It's a nicer venue. And no, it's not a brand-new venue. And it may be another generation before we get that. But the amenities that are available to you at Humphrey Coliseum are greater than they ever have been. So you owe it to yourself to go. It's kind of cool walking in there, and you got the little concourse area there. And then you go down into the venue itself. It's pretty neat. It really is. And when that place gets loud, it's a very difficult place to play. And again, there are going to be some people that will pick us and say, you know what, this Mississippi State team's just got too many question marks, and that's fine. I trust our coaching staff. And I'll share with you guys, too, we had the media opportunity. Dave Murray was finishing up out there at SEC Media Day, so I went with Jacob. And I was impressed. You know, a couple of guys in particular really impressed me, and you know, we've run, I guess, three of those stories, and we'll run the rest this weekend. But you know, a couple of those guys I thought were really, really, really interesting. Waiting for this roster to come up here. But, you know, Amir Ali being one of them. Incredibly well-spoken. Really no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Just really, really well-spoken. And a guy, too, that we're going to need him to be really good. You know, when we got him, everybody was like, hey, this is a really big deal for us. It was. It continues to be. Jabori McGee was interesting. But Epps, I thought, was very well spoken, too. And that's going to be a backcourt. It's probably going to have a lot more depth. You know, last year we expected to have depth and then end up having somebody basically, you know, not finish the year with us. And a lot of opinions vary. A lot of the, quote, sourced reports out there among the wannabe experts are incorrect. But the bottom line is, no matter what the reasoning is, you know, we didn't have him. And so now we begin to kind of move forward. But, again, we had – and they're still working through kind of finalizing the roster. You know, not everybody is here. Just about everybody is here. But not everybody is here. And so we'll kind of work through that and allow the staff, you know, to kind of get things taken care of. But the reality of it is, you know, we have made the tournament three straight years. And Kanye Clary, the name always escapes me, but Kanye Clary was a guy we were expecting big things from last year. Didn't work out the way we'd hoped, but you know, when I think about the potential of what we have now in the backcourt, you Claude Harris is a guy that was streaky a little bit at times. Riley Kugel, kind of the same way. Kugel hit some big shots, another time for kind of disappearing games, and then you got Hub. And a lot of the players mentioned, you know, Hubbard and Sean Jones have kind of taken them under their wing to kind of teach them the Mississippi State way of doing things. And how great is it to get Hub back? I mean, even when he declared for the draft, we expected him back. But, you know, the fact that we still have him heading into year three, I think, is extremely significant. One of the most prolific shooters in the conference, if not the country. And now he'll have some depth around him. And you know, we'll see how things progress, but, you know, I'm excited to see what this team can bring, and they'll have the opportunity to be somewhat challenged in the non-conference, and I think be prepared for what is always a bear of an SEC schedule. That has not been fully released yet, but you know as well as I do, before the dates come out of there, you know it's going to be a bear, because it always is. And last year, you know, it was easily, in my estimation, the best conference in the country. And then you look up at the end of the year and you get two SEC teams playing for a national title. So that there's some evidence to support that line of thinking. It's not unique to me by any stretch of the imagination. But I think it's okay to get excited about men's basketball. We'll have some women's stuff here soon too. But you know, I'm hoping and expecting a really good athletic year this school year. And it's already July the 19th. So you begin to kind of work through all this stuff and begin to realize, you know, hey, we're about 11 days away from the beginning of preseason camp for football. And we're, 100 and some odd days away from the start of men's basketball. So we're going to have a lot to cheer about. And I think that we're going to have a chance to reach the postseason in most sports. You know, hopefully football can pick off a win or two. Maybe you get that good game at Arkansas this year. Yeah, and there's some people on my staff that believe we're going to get to six. They believe we're going to win all four non-conference games, win at Arkansas, and then need to beat Ole Miss to knock out a bowl-eligible season. And that may prove to be the case. But the good thing is there's a reason we play the games. We don't play the games on paper. We don't vote for the winners. There's a scoreboard, and the team that scores the most points wins. And I think when it comes to men's basketball this year, we're going to win a whole lot more of those than we lose. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle if you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. We stayed there for New Year's, had a blast. I think you will too. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. If you're looking to take in maybe a doubleheader midweek basketball event or perhaps a football weekend, or maybe you just have some time off and you're thinking, what do we need to do? Well, you know what? How about get everybody together? It doesn't have to be anything special. You can make it special just by having your friends and family all kind of congregate in one area. And I can tell you, the older I get, the more I cherish those opportunities to have everybody under one roof. Nothing like game night, just kind of sitting around, playing some games, kind of getting caught up on the people you love the most and what's going on in their lives. You know, because social media makes us lazy. You know I'm telling the truth. I mean, you see everybody's post and you begin to think, well, I'm caught up, and you may not be. It's maybe something you need to deal with or something you need to celebrate. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, including the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, six-bedroom, three-bath. Man, it's so great. Plenty of parking out there, too. You don't have to worry about that. You know, sometimes you book a place, you get there, and you realize you got to park down the street. It's very inconvenient. Not here. Plenty of room to park. And even have some guests over. We don't want you having a rager out there, but you can have a nice time. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to pop up. Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you want to, but if you want to save some money, and I'm all about that because if it's free, it's me, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That gets you 10% off your stay. Again, that's BSR, the number 10, 10. 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. And along those lines, too, I think it's important for everybody to kind of understand exactly what's expected of them, you know, when they go. And that's just simply have a good time. Simple as that. And I missed it earlier because I got a phone call and I didn't think about it. But the top 10 list is always brought to you by Kalito Guitars. We're going to give them a little more love now because we were a little bit later putting the ad in here. But Kalito Guitars, your one-stop shop for all your guitar needs. If you need a new rig, you can find it, right? You can get a beginner guitar, a professional grade guitar, and everything in between. No matter your level of expertise, you can find the instrument that best suits you through Kalito Guitars. Name brand instruments, expertise that's unsurpassed. Quality service before, during, and after the sale. A lot of places you just go buy something online, it shows up and you're geeked. But what happens when something goes wrong or you need something? Can't get a hold of anybody. Well, that's not the case with Kalito Guitars. Go by and see their showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, next time you're south of Houston down there. Or you can shop online at KalitoGuitars.com. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars.com. In addition to that, too, you can, you know, just call them on the phone if you so prefer. Whether you're looking for guitar cases or gig bags, accessories, guitar stands, I have one I'm very proud of. Anything you need to make a little racket, you can find at Kalito Guitars. And again, this is for every level of guitar player. You know, if you've got a kid that's just kind of picking it up or you're a person that gigs regularly, Kalito Guitars is the place for you. Yeah, you can shop other places, and I get that. I understand that. But I think it's important for us to support each other. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. I have met with the owner of Kalito Guitars. The grandsons work at the shop. It is clearly a family business and one within our family. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you some incentive to do business with them and also help Mississippi State in the process. Promo code BSR. When you order, whether it be online, in person, or over the phone, promo code BSR gets you a 10% discount off your purchase price. It also gives you free shipping. And if you don't live in the state of Texas, you don't pay sales tax. In addition to that, they'll make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Mississippi State Excellence Fund, which is a tremendous opportunity for you to help Mississippi State put even greater teams on the fields and courts of play. Very proud to partner with our friends at Kalito Guitars, and I apologize for being a little bit tardy, but I love doing business with them and dealing with them. Very appreciative of them being a partner to the Boneyard. I had a chance to speak to a couple of our newer commitments for Mississippi State baseball. Michael Hanna, very excited about him. Michael Hanna, of course, out of Don Bosco Prep there in New Jersey, was committed to Virginia, elected, like many others, to follow the staff. And again, that says so much about the staff, right? We talk all the time about people committing to institutions and programs and things of that nature. When the architect of that program leaves, and then he's able to pull some players with them, it's quite an endorsement. It truly is. It's quite an endorsement. So, you know what, Coach? I'll go with you wherever you want to go. You know. And again, he's from New Jersey, like John Bon Jovi and those guys. And he was going to be in Virginia. That's not too far. Well, now he's going to be in Starkville, Mississippi. So it's quite the commitment in that respect. When you think about your family and things of that nature, them coming to be a part of your college baseball experience, the fact that you would go that far away from home, I think says a lot about your belief in the coaching. In addition to that, this is a guy, too, that he can pitch, he can play outfield, he is projected to be a center fielder, runs a 6.60 in a 60-yard dash. And that's been a little while ago, so he might actually be a little bit quicker than that. To be in that era, that range is elite. You know, everybody wants to run sub-7, right? But to get close to 6.5, that's really getting it done. And listen, there's some guys out there that have put up some ridiculous times. But to have a guy entering his junior year or finishing up his junior year to run that level is pretty significant. He also has exit velos of about 102 miles an hour. And this is a guy that weighs about 170. You can only begin to imagine what he will look like and what he will play like when he gets into the strength and conditioning program and begins to put on a little more muscle. Now, this time next year, we may be talking about him being a potential draft risk, but this is a guy that can really get it done. And when you think about how it all kind of comes together, because Brian O'Connor and that staff can't just think about the 2026 roster. Because you think about Aiden Teal, right? Aiden Teal was a draft-eligible sophomore this year. He's going to get drafted next year, and he's going to make a ton of money. Well, he's going to be gone. Well, you know, you got to put some guys in a developmental pipeline behind them to maintain that level of play. And Aiden Teal is an absolute freak. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. This is a guy that can make some things happen, and I think it's important for us to understand it's not just about forecasting for next year. Like we can't just be on the portal train all the time. And again, I don't think that's sustainable. There have been some teams that have had some success with it here as of late, obviously. But I think long term, and I think Brian O'Connor agrees with me, when you begin to think about the core of your program, it needs to be players that are with you multiple years. And we've had some guys that have come in out of the portal that have stayed multiple years. Sometimes that wasn't the initial plan, but that's kind of how it plays out. And I think it's important to kind of understand that the ability to forecast, right? The ability to forecast and kind of get excited about what's next and begin to kind of think about, you know, hey, James Nunnally is a guy that's going to be a part of our program this year. Aiden Teal's expected to be the starting center fielder. Well, then when Aiden gets drafted, well, then Nunnally can take over in center. Not that he's not playing somewhere this year, because I certainly believe he will. Then he takes over in center in that particular year is Hannah's freshman year. So then Nunnally will be draft eligible, and then Hannah has the opportunity to come in and take over as a sophomore and potentially play a couple years here. You know, Jacob Parker's a guy, too, that could play some center field, could play some right, could play some left, a little bit of everything. And I had somebody just yesterday tell me they fully expect him to be a first-round draft pick when he is draft eligible. And unless the rules change, that's going to be 3 years. Think about that for a second. Have a guy, Jacob Parker, that was projected to be second-round pick as part of your program for 3 years, a guy just down the road in Purvis, Mississippi. And so that's important to kind of understand. Andrew Raymond, the catcher from George Mason, had a chance to speak to him yesterday. His first public comment since making his announcement. And I was just curious to know, you know, you're a guy that's going into a two-catcher portal class. You know, so how's all that going to work? And his attitude about all that was so great. He's like, hey, even though I played a year, I'm guaranteed nothing. I got to go in there and work. I got to compete. And let's be honest about this. We're going to play 2 to 3 catchers, you know, most months of the season. You know, you'll have some guys, obviously, in the mix there. You know, we got some younger guys, too, that'll have an opportunity. You know, Charlie Wortham's a guy that I'm really excited about. I don't know if we'll see Charlie play a lot this year, but that's your future, right? And you think about, you know, Kevin Malewski, you know, he's a guy that we expect to come in and be the guy, but if you look at how we've done it the last couple of years, and I haven't run, you know, really deep details into how Brian O'Connor and Coach Matt Kirby handle the catchers, but you're not going to make it through the year with one catcher. And so more times than not, you're going to have two guys that play regularly. You know, with Johnny Long and Joe Powell, we did that. And down the stretch this year, we had to stick with Joe Powell just because he gave us the best chance to win. But Ross was in the mix a little bit too. You know, Ross was the starter. And as we went along, Joe eventually wins the job. And so I think the important aspect of that is, you know, the catcher position is so incredibly important. And he's basically another coach on the field. But when you look at the fact that you're bringing in Raymond, a guy that, as a true freshman, appeared in 51 games and started 50 and hit 278 and had a handful of jacks, this is a guy that was a phenomenal player as a freshman. And he elects to come here, even though we already have Kevin Malewski signed and ready to go. There are not a lot of people that would do that, because a lot of people, like, it's not like he's leaving George Mason for playing time. He's leaving for a greater opportunity. And it's clear to me that he has some advisors in his life that are like, you know what, let's look at the big picture. Let's just don't look at the 2026 season. I expect him to play a good bit. And then, you know, we'll see what happens next year. You know, Malewski obviously will be a guy that's draft eligible next year and will likely be drafted. And then it stacks up pretty well for you. You start looking at your depth chart. And the catcher position was a huge concern for us shortly after the portal opened. I mean, you knew Joe Powell had exhausted his eligibility. And then Jackson Owen gets in the portal. Thankfully, he withdrew. You know, Ross Heifel, you know, gets in the portal. You know, and catcher is one of these things. There's only one of those guys on the field, you know. And so it's an extremely important position, and it's one that lends itself a lot to transfers because of the fact you have some guys like an Andrew Raymond that really excel in what's basically the G5. And he's like, you know what, I'm going to go test myself and see if I can't go play in a Southeastern Conference or for a Power 4 type program. Well, now here he is. But attitude is great. Not going to win any 40-yard dash times or anything like that, but he's a guy that obviously recognizes spin well. He walked more times than he struck out. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that in the Brian O'Connor experience, getting guys that know how to manage the zone. It's an extremely important part of things. But I think you can feel good, and we've had opportunity to interview every one of the transfers. We're the only people that can say that. And so if you're looking for more information, we've got the transfer tracker pinned at the top of the message board. But if you just Google any of these guys you're interested in, you can find them. And you never know. I may just put a story index up of the interviews of all of the commitments from the portal, so you can kind of read why they chose Mississippi State. There's a lot of common denominators in that. You know, a lot of it's, you know, the strength and majesty of Duty Noble Field and all of you, this tremendous amount of fan support, but also, too, the quality of instruction they're expected to get from these coaches. And I continue to hear, I had a bunch of people message me after the draft and say, hey, I told you so, talking about Brian O'Connor's ability to get people to come to class. A lot of people have told me, shortly after Brian O'Connor was hired, that is the toughest sign for a Major League Baseball team, is the Brian O'Connor commitment or signee, because he has convinced them to come to class and to develop and then put themselves in a position to get through the minors a little bit quicker. And I thought his comment day one was great. He goes, you get to decide what your life is going to look like from 18 to 21. And I had somebody tell me along those lines that the Parker brothers, like, it had been better for the either, you know, kind of their thinking, their opinion. It's hard to turn down $6 million at that age, obviously. But it's like, you know, they're going to, if one comes to school and one goes pro, one's going to be miserable and one's going to be having the time of their life, and the one having the time of their life is going to be the guy in college. You know, it's a lot more work. We talked about it with, like, the Roddy Jordan piece. The minors isn't for everybody. And obviously when they're completely invested in you, they're going to move you through the minors a little bit quicker because they want to get some return on that investment. But it's interesting to think about that dynamic. When you're in college, and Tanner Allen and I talked about this, and Jake Mangum, that you're around your buddies all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing everything together. You're going to study hall together. You know, you're traveling together. You're hanging out together. You're putting in extra work together. You're practicing together. So there is a real esprit de corps among those teammates. It's just not like that in the minors. People kind of have a tendency to kind of keep more to themselves, you know, because people aren't similarly situated. In college, everybody is experiencing it all for the very first time. It's a lot different deal in the minor leagues. And so Brian O'Connor has kind of sold that. It's like, hey, there's some guys that stay in the minors, you know, for a decade. You know, there's not as much of that anymore since they've kind of gutted the minor league system. But do you want to be that guy that really is kind of like a nomad? I mean, you never have a chance to really plant any roots anywhere. Or do you want to go to college, get your education, be around some good dudes, right, and get better at baseball, and then have the opportunity to get drafted probably higher, but also to more physically, mentally, to mostly mature. And I think a lot of parents, that's an easier selling point. But I'm really happy with the class. I still think we probably take a portal guy, maybe two, maybe. We'll see how it plays out. And it'll be good to kind of get the roster finalized and get everybody on campus and have everybody get to work. And I know you guys are excited, too, about fall baseball. A lot of people in the past have just said, oh, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's a scrimmage. We had some good crowds last year, and I expect this year we have a lot too. I think we have some really good crowds this year come out for baseball because you want to get a glimpse of this new team. Not just because you enjoy Duty Noble Field, but I think there's some optimism around baseball. And I've had a lot of people ask me, I said, well, you know, Steve, it's probably the most anticipated season in Mississippi State history, and I disagree. It's one of, for sure. But, you know, 2022, in more recent years, you know, we won the NAFL championship in 21, and most people forecasted us to be an Omaha team in 2022. So opening up the series, Valentine's Day weekend, we were thinking that we got a chance to maybe go back and defend our title here. Well, it didn't work out that way. I go back to 85. You know, we had the really great year in 84, and Clark and Palmeiro back. Of course, there was no transfer portal back then, so we didn't have to contend with tampering, that sort of stuff. But the 85 year was big. And, you know, and what's interesting, like, we talk about wild years, right? So the 89 team, a lot of people to this day consider that the greatest Mississippi State team of all time. Well, we lose a lot of those pieces. We bring a few guys back in 90, and it's the 90 team that makes it to Omaha. You go back and think about 17, right? You know, Brent Rooker has the Triple Crown year. We end up getting beaten in a super regional at LSU. And then the next year, even though we returned a pretty solid nucleus, we were having to depend on some younger guys. You know, Rowdy Jordan, T.A., those guys, they were just kind of becoming a thing. Josh Hatcher was a part of that. You know, we love Hatchie. And what do you know? We go to Omaha. Probably the most improbable run to Omaha that we have ever made. So, yeah, expectations are important. And this is a program that has a lot of them. And I think Brian O'Connor, when we met last time, he kind of mentioned that, just being around the community. You know, he'll be out there with a recruit, and one of you will walk up and just say hello, you know, and just speak to coach. You wonder how often that happened at Virginia. And that's not in any way to take a shot at the folks in Charlottesville. But this is a baseball-crazy town. And Brian O'Connor obviously is very recognizable, and so people want to go up and say hello. Now, what do you think, what message does that send to the recruit? You know, the head coach, we go out to eat dinner, and then lo and behold, I got fans coming up. You know, baseball is just simply different here. And we love baseball. Not everybody does, and that's okay, you know. But the reality of it is we built the brand around it. And I think right now what we're hearing and seeing and feeling is maybe a more unified fan base when it comes to baseball. The last 3 years have been very difficult on Mississippi State fans. I mean, truly have been. Well, I guess in some respects, you could say four. Even though 24 was a good year and 25 was okay, but I think it's fair to say we probably underachieved a little bit. I think all of you would agree with that. But there was this divide within the fan base. You know, a lot of people were like, hey, you know, you got to give Lamonas, you know, some time. You win the NAFL championship, and then you have all those injuries in 22. We expected a rebound year in 23. Didn't get it. 24 was a step back in the right direction. And then basically we ended up in the same spot in 25. And I don't know. You know, I still feel like we would have closed the last month of the season out in good form, whether we made a coaching change or not. But the reality of it is this is a team in 25 that I really felt like played under the dark cloud of all of that. You know, like, hey, we got to go win big this year. Lemonos is getting fired. That's all behind us now. And I'm a Chris Lemonos guy. Appreciate everything he did for Mississippi State. Did something nobody else has ever done, and that's bring home a national title in any sport. You know, that's significant. But it was simply time to move on. And it may not have worked out any better for us. I think you give Chris Lemonos ample time to get this thing turned around. And really, up until the last 2 years, we really weren't as competitive in the portal as we needed to be from a financial standpoint. So we kind of get those things in place. And now we've even increased that to ensure that Brian O'Connor gets a nice bump right out of the gate. We got to put a good brand of baseball on the field next year. And I've got no doubt we're going to do that. But what I'm most excited about is having some continuity. When you look at the Brian O'Connor file and you go back and look what he has done historically as a head coach, there is just a level of consistency that has been kind of a hallmark of his coaching career. And that's what we expect, right? At Mississippi State, and a lot of times we say these things mainly out of frustration, not necessarily out of, expectation that we have been maybe based on a revisionist history. You know, because I could go back decades and say there's a lot of things that we should have done better. But when you think about Brian O'Connor, guys, when he took over in 2004 in Virginia, guys, they didn't miss the NCAA tournament for 14 years. It wasn't until 2018 that they missed the tournament. Now, the first 5 years he's in Charlottesville, they make a regional. They don't make it to the super round, but they make a regional. In 2009, they go to Omaha. 2010, they're in a super. And in 2011, they go to Omaha. Back in a regional, then a super. Because, guys, let's be honest about with our commitment from an emotional, financial standpoint, we should always be in the tournament. Like, a down year for us should be a road regional, not a team that just plays out the string and goes to Hoover and goes one and done, right? Well, of course, you know, we talk about building, right? So you have the Super in 13 that we won. We went to Charlottesville and beat them. And then in 14, they're the College World Series runner-up. They come back in 15, they win it. And then there is a little bit of a adjustment there. The next year, they won six less games, still went to a regional, and then back to a regional, and then they missed it in 18 and 19. And then you have COVID. And then what do you know? He's right back in the College World Series. And so in the last 5 years of Brian O'Connor's tenure at Virginia, they made four NCAA tournaments and went to Omaha three times in 5 years. That's what we expect at Mississippi State. We've never had that, but that's what we want. And I will never forget this. I remember this LSU fan, older LSU gentleman in 21, before we beat Virginia, made a comment to me about, hey, it's Mississippi State's time to win. And they were all cheering for us. We were the godfathers of college baseball. But he said, you know, it's good for the game for Mississippi State to win because of all the financial resources and all the great fan support they've had. It'll be good for college baseball because in the past people have said, well, why should we invest more in baseball? Look at what Mississippi State has done. Look at the cathedral that they've built. Look at the resources they've allocated for baseball. And they've never won the whole thing, so why do we think we should? So we've kind of let everybody else kind of off the hook a little bit, those that love college baseball. And so now, and I firmly believe this, I believe that we're about to enter an era of Mississippi State baseball that we've only dreamed of. Looking at how the staff operates, looking at the way that they build relationships with recruits and players, you're going to have guys sticking around. And I think from an evaluation standpoint, you know, here's one of those things I think that happens, you know, not just the rule changes, but I think at times you got to take a chance on a kid. The chances that Brian O'Connor is taking is not based on taking a chance on an evaluation. It's taking a chance on, is this kid going to get drafted? So we're competing with the major leagues. not necessarily competing with Tennessee or LSU. It's like, hey, we're going to go out here and we're going to go out and sign the best players in the country, and hopefully we get some of them to come to school. And that's the attitude we have to have. Now, for those of you that wring your hands and clutch your pearls every time we lose a couple of signees in a draft, you might as well get used to that, because that's the nature of college baseball. But it happens to everybody. We went over that after the draft. But the reality of this thing is that Brian O'Connor has built a pedigree on being a guy that is very difficult for pro baseball to beat. And so you start thinking about the Dante Norris and Conrad Kaysens and Jet Williams and people like that that signed Mississippi State and ultimately decided to turn pro, you know, what that would have meant. So I think you're going to win those battles a lot more frequently, and as a result, you're going to win a lot more games. All right, if you hadn't done so, go to dudenoblebook.com. Be sure and check that out. You can get signed copies of The Dude and all my sports titles there. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and, of course, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, in addition to The Dude. And we're still hanging in there on the top 10 list 9 months after release. Thank you. Thank you for that. In addition to that, come join us over at jeanspage.com, and we'll do everything we can to give you all the latest and greatest information about Mississippi State sports. And come float with us at True West Float Spa, Starville. Dan has floated, I think, 3 times this week. Yeah, I don't float that frequently, but I do float, you know, at least once a month, and probably should do it twice a month. It's usually around 2 weeks is probably the sweet spot. And if you've got, you know, chronic pain or something, you may want to come a little more frequently, just to give yourself a little bit of relief and kind of help maybe manage that a little bit. It may work for you, you know, but it's a great experience. We've had a really good summer. This time last summer, I was a little bit worried, but I'm not now. I mean, things are great. Business is great. Customers are great. And people are having a great experience. So give Dana a call at 662-268-7601. You can visit truerest.com, learn more about the process, and follow us on social media. At True West Float Spa Starkville on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Instagram's probably the most active. Some Facebook stuff too, but be sure and check it out. And listen, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope you don't find out that there's some other relatives you didn't know about. It's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting feeling. But all that understood, I'm kind of excited about it too, to kind of get to know somebody else and their families. You know, it's nice. That aspect of it, I think, is kind of a blessing. But that's going to do it for today. I'll be back on Monday. You know, God willing, and the creeks don't rise. But until then, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Send summer out with a sizzle during the Omaha Steaks Labor Day Sale. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, juicy air-chilled chicken, beefy burgers, deli-style franks, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code FALLFLAVOR at omahasteaks.com today. Don't wait. Save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Labor Day sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code FALLFLAVOR. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.